Well, F302, why don't we go ahead and get started? I want to welcome everyone on the conference call today. Today we're going to be talking about the new lead generation program and kind of how it's working. We have Galen and Kaz on the line that I'm going to kind of turn the mic over to in a minute. And we have Joe Edgeworth. It was Joe Edgeworth, right?
Yeah, Edgeworth.
Edgeworth, okay.
Yes.
That's been using the lead program for quite some time. He's going to share his stories of success and failure, right? There's both sides of it, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. But we like the success side. That's the side we like.
I hear you.
So, Galen, why don't you, you want to pick it up? And some of the people on the phone call probably have heard about the lead generation program but don't know a lot about it. So if you kind of introduce it again to them, and then we'll either your cause, and then we'll get Joe on the line to tell us how he's working the leads and how that process works for him.
Sure. Well, hello, everyone. It's this is Galen Weston.
Thank you.
And
yeah.
I'm the
see you in the morning.
I'm the founder of Advisor World.
Hang on a second, Galen. If anyone's on the line, hit that's not a speaker, hit *6 so we can mute yourselves, please. Okay, that's quiet. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Galen.
Okay, great. Yeah, like I was saying, I'm the founder of Advisor World, and I'll give you guys a brief rundown, and then I'd rather spend a lot more time on questions and hearing from one of our longer running advisors on the program as well, because I think it's better off to hear from somebody who's used this program for a long time that can attest that every lead we've ever sent him has been perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Just kidding. Perfect is impossible in lead generation. We're all aware of that. But we try to stick to a process that, keeps things, consistent relatively consistent. So the main program and how it works, first of all, I am a former financial advisor myself. I was with a company called RBC, which I'm sure everybody's heard of in Toronto in the early 2000s. And I was doing a lot of cold calling at the time and always, trying to find a better way to do it, a more efficient way and a better use of my time. So I ended up, kind of starting to dabble in the Internet and kind of the very early stages of Internet marketing, particularly in the financial space. I had tremendous results with it out of the gate. In fact, in my first year at RBC, which is when I did this, I ended up using, kind of online lead generation to propel myself to the most successful rookie in the company's history and number three in the firm by the end of the year, which was quite unexpected, to say the least. But what I found at the end of the period is I was so involved in the the generation of leads and marketing that I really had little time for clients. So I decided to leave that to those who really wanted to do it and to pursue the online marketing thing full time. So over the following 7 years, we launched the company into Canada, and we were doing financial advisor, life insurance, estate planning, and even mortgage leads. And it worked very well, and we were the kind of the pioneers of online financial marketing in Canada. And, eventually we got to the point where we wanted to start looking at a bigger market. And because of our sites and our marketing was coming up in the U.S., people were always calling us saying, hey, can you do this for us? At the time, we looked at the competition and just couldn't quite get our head around how, somebody would take a lead and sell it to five different people and have them all fight over it. If we did that in Canada, we'd get lynched. So it's just, we had a hard time getting our minds around that. And finally, we just said, well, what if we charged you, five times as much as the other guys were, but it was an exclusive lead and it was qualified. We talked to them on the phone. And, much to our surprise, everybody was like, absolutely, sign me up. So we ended up branching out in about 2007, and we were primarily in the beginning, early stages, we focused on, wealth management type leads and people looking for a financial advisor. And, over time, people kept asking about annuities, so we had to ask ourselves, well, what are these annuities? And we had to start reading into it, because annuities are not popular at all in Canada because they don't have the same tax advantages. So it's something that was fairly new to us. We do have them. They're just not very common. But after looking into it, we realized that there was definitely a niche there, so we started to build it out. And to be frank, it exploded on us over the next 5 years to the point of that's all we've been doing now. We generate about $38 billion in online annuity requests when you add up all the amount of investments that people are looking to purchase. It's tens of thousands of leads that we've generated. I think we're somewhere pushing 100,000 mark. And through our advisors, they've closed that we know of about $340 million. And that's just what they've reported to us. There's all kinds of, you know, people don't report, they don't respond to the surveys and everything else, like typical agents. They only let us know when something's not going well. But, you know, we know there's a lot of closes out there. There's a lot of success, and there's probably at least 100 people, 100 advisors that will take people's calls, tell them about the program, and coach people along. And Joe's graciously been that person today. How the lead works is somebody goes online, they'll do either a search in one of the search engines like Google or MSN or Yahoo or something like that.
This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
The little voice is speaking to me. Okay, it's gone.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, everybody heard it good. Just realized I could sound pretty crazy. When they come online and they do a search or, you know, see some kind of article or something that we had posted on another site or an advertisement on CNN or CNBC or, you know, a million other sites, they'll fill out the form, and on the form it has the amount of requests that they're looking for, specifically annuities, so the amount of annuity that they're looking for to purchase, and typically the term and the type, and then, of course, their contact details. We immediately have a qualification team that calls them up upon submitting that request. We're usually trying to get them within a minute. And during the qualification call, they confirm the term, the type, the amount, whether it's coming from qualified or non-qualified money, where the money is actually coming from. So it could be a cash 401k rollover, sale of an asset, and, you know, numerous other things as well. Then we ask one very important question, which is, why are you looking to purchase an annuity, or what are you looking for an annuity to do for you? And, you know, that usually spurs quite a conversation where they'll, you know, usually detail out, you know, what made them take the action, why did they fill out the form. We take all that information down, and then we find out when they're available within the next 48 hours for the advisor to call them back, and they do, and they take it from there. And hopefully there's enough notes so they can have a pretty consistent stream, you know, based on the conversation that we had with them and carry it on in a fluid manner. The average annuity size is $279,000. That's based on over 10,000 leads. So it's statistical and doesn't change much. The average national closing ratio is 10%. Joe Edgeworth can attest to his own closing ratio, but, you know, it's usually some people are a little over 10, some people are a little under 10, but it's extremely consistent. And you can extrapolate from the commissions on that the ROI makes really good sense. So without further ado, I will actually hand it over to Cause to introduce Joe, and I think Cause might want to add a few things that are on his mind as well.
Thanks, Galen. Very good.
What can I say about Joe? He's just one of our best guys. Not only does he have a good closing ratio, but his appointment setting ratio is phenomenal. He can talk about that. Just a great guy to talk to. He's open to new agents. He's open to agents who have been doing this for a long time and has a lot of wisdom. At this point, I'll pass it on to Joe.
Okay, Cod, thanks. I'll give you some history on myself, and then I'll take any questions you have and run with those. But I've been a planner for about 25 years. I've been successful, and there's probably not a lead program that I haven't used. And I've had success with them, but not a lot. So I've had to use a lot of different plans over and over. And I first started talking to Galen a couple of years ago. But I forget what happened, but we didn't get together, didn't mesh. And then I found him again early this year. I guess it was January. And we had some long conversations. And, you know, at this point, I'm pretty jaded. I don't trust anybody or anything. But we talked and we talked and we talked. And I decided to get into bed with him and take a shot at this. And one of the things I tell agents is, don't do this for a month. Don't buy 10 or 20 leads and go sideways. You've got to make a commitment to this program, like any other program, of at least 6 months, if not a year. Anyway, I started getting leads, and I quickly learned that these were the best leads I had ever had, hands down. They're extremely well qualified. It is very, very rare that I get a lead that I cannot contact, which was always a problem in the past. You know, with a lot of leads I would get, I couldn't contact them, and that's just not an issue for me. All of these people have talked to somebody at Advisor World, and they're receptive. Now, I don't pay a lot of attention to the notes on the lead. An example is I'll get leads that say, well, call me after Thanksgiving or call it 3 days, call it this time. I call them immediately, just like it wasn't on the lead. And usually I get them on the phone in a very short period of time, and it's never a problem. The size of the cases, to me, is great. And there's a lot of times where the way I do my appointments with these people, I find a lot more money. And there's often times that the spouse will also do something. And there's also many times where you cross-sell after the annuity planning. So, I mean, I can honestly tell you from a long history of doing this and working leads that these are the best leads I've ever had. I'm grateful to Kaws and Galen because I normally, up until this year, would do maybe a little bit more than $2 million a year in annuities, which I knew wasn't a lot. I'll triple that this year because of Galen. Now, don't go raising the rates on me, guys.
They know you can afford it now, don't they?
Oh, man, I didn't say that. I got a wife and kids. I got a beach house, remember?
Yeah.
But I'm very, very happy with the lead in quality. The quality is phenomenal. Now, yeah, they're more expensive, but this truly is the way to go for people looking to add to their business.
Now, Joe, I have a couple of questions for you before we open up to the general population here.
Sure. Okay.
Now, one of the things we have to decide when we're signing up for the program is kind of where we want to get leads from. You know, do we want to stay close to the office? Do we want to go 10 miles away, 40 miles away? Do we want the whole state? You know, how far away from your central operation do you go? Do you get these leads from?
I travel up to about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes. And what the mileage on that, now I think, and Kaws can probably tell you better, but I think my mileage is capped at 65 miles. But as Galen likes to say, they go as the crow flies. So actual mileage, I go up to 80 to 85 miles from my base of operation, which takes about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes. So I work leads anywhere from a mile from my office to, let's say, an hour and a half.
Okay. And so you get the lead, and then you call immediately. How do you open up the phone call? What are you saying to these folks to keep them on the line? Because I'm sure the longer you keep them on the line, the better off you are.
Well, to a point. I try to come across as very non-threatening, just very casual. And actually, one of the people, Carl Zimmerman, that Galen had turned me on to, gave me a few questions. But I have a lot of experience with phone work, so this part of it was kind of easy for me. But anyway, I call. I introduce myself. And I tell them, this is Joe Edgeworth. I own the Edgeworth Insurance Group. I let them know that I'm the boss. And I'm also a representative of Advisor World, which is why I'm calling. You had made an inquiry regarding annuities. And they say, yes, that's correct. And then I'll go through the notes that I have on the lead, and at the end, I'll say, how am I doing so far? You know, kind of in a joking manner. Again, trying to keep things light and non-threatening. And they'll say, well, yes, that's what I've gone over with them. So then I start just to ask questions and listen to the answers. I'll ask them, are you familiar with fixed annuities? Have you ever owned annuities? What got you to this point? What are you looking to do? Where is your money now? What parts of this aren't you happy with? Why are you looking to move it? And then we'll talk maybe about income. Are you looking for income options? Are you looking for beneficiary planning? Questions along those lines. And what's the purpose of the money? What's the primary goal of what you're trying to accomplish? So I take this, and sometimes we get off track a little bit and talk about this and that, but that's the gist of the questions. I don't want to ask them too many on the phone. I want to ask him what I feel to me are the basic questions. And then I explain to him that, you know, we've done this for a long time. We represent all of the top carriers, and there's not one company that's right for everybody. It depends a lot of times on somebody's age, their marital status. Are they going to use income or not? And if they're going to use income, when? And I explained to them that what I'll do is when we sit down, I'll show you different options that are available to you. I'll explain the program to you, and I'll answer any questions that you have. And then I say to them right away after that, I'll say, now, are you and your wife available for a daytime appointment, or does the evening work better for you? And almost always I get the appointment. I probably set 7 out of 10 first appointments.
Okay, good.
Now, if I don't get the appointment, you know what they're coming back with is, well, can you mail it? So then I might get a little firmer with them, and I'll say to them, I could mail it, sir, but generally I don't. And the reasons why I don't is a lot of times it causes or raises more questions than it answers. And a lot of times I find that people that want it mailed are already working with a planner that they've been close with for years. So I try to isolate. I don't go through the mail. I mean, I do it under certain situations, and it's kind of like a gut feeling. And as Cos and I have laughed about it, I over the summer closed $500,000 on a case I mailed out. But I generally will get the appointment 7 out of 10 times.
Okay, now, as you're talking to these folks, you know, we have an idea of the money they have to invest, at least what they put on the form when they filled it out. Do you get into dollar amounts at all during this first phone call, or do you pretty much take that number that you have?
No, actually, I don't really pay much attention to the number they give Cos or Galen, because what I do on the first appointment is a fact finder, a more in-depth fact finder. And what I have found is that probably 95% of the time, I either pick up more money or less money. A lot of times, it's a lot more. Because one of the things I'm doing in the fact finder is talking about the money. You know, I ask them about their qualified funds and where they're at. I ask them about their non-qualified funds and where they're at. And then in each category they give me, I start to talk to them about the purpose of this money. Where is it going? What do you need it for? So, again, there's a lot of times where the number they give you on the lead, you know, it could be a starting point, but it's usually not the number.
Okay, so you're really not pre-qualifying these people too much. You're just assuming that, hey, I got the appointment, let's go see.
Right, I'm really not qualifying them hard at all. I'm letting them get to know me. I'm asking them some basic non-threatening questions. really trying to read the responses they give me, and then going for the appointment.
Okay. And then the appointment, you start, and I'm sure there's just, you know, you're in the house, so you're looking at the pictures and everything else that we have to look at when we go to the house. And then
yeah, the
especially
warm-up.
You get into
yeah.
the yeah, you could do the warm-up, and then you get into the profiling part, and then eventually you get down to their inquiry, or I'm sure, what they inquired about.
Yeah, I do an in-depth fact finder. We talk. I don't get into a lot of specifics on the first appointment. However, on the first appointment, one of the things that I'm going to do is really pin down and isolate what these people want to do with this money. What is the
right.
primary aspect of this, this, that, or that? Because then that's going to tell me which direction I'm going in and with which companies most likely I'm going to present. Now, at least half of the time, these folks are looking for structured income at some point in their life. And I always carry brochures with me. So I talk a little bit about product in the first meeting, not much. And by that time, let me backtrack for a moment if I may. At the end of the first phone conversation after I've set the appointment, I verify their email. And I say to them, now in the next few minutes here, I'm going to send you an email confirming the appointment. But what I also give them is my website. Because what I want them to do is visit my site before we sit down. Because on my site is a lot of information about myself and my group. And there's also videos they can watch, articles they can read. There's calculators, planning ideas, all geared toward what we call safe money investing and income planning for the retiree and pre-retiree. So at the appointment, I will leave maybe an income brochure and one or two brochures on the indexed annuity, because that's, for 90% of the time, that's the way we're going to go. And then I set the second appointment, letting them know that I'm going to work with these numbers. Now I'm going to run numbers. I'm going to show you some ideas of what we can do, what you can expect. And in the meantime, I want you to read this information over. And then on the second appointment, I get into more detail on the product. I review a lot of what we did in the first appointment. I go into product specifics and explanations. Then I show numbers. And, you know, I'm really closing the whole time I walk in that door on the second appointment. And then I go for the close. I go to close now. Most times I'll close on the second appointment. Now, sometimes it takes a third appointment, but most times I will close them on the second appointment.
Okay. You know, it's kind of amazing that your appointment process is so similar to ours. We've come from, and we are doing seminars, dinner seminars, and the appointment process is almost identical, except we always go three. But it's the same concept, same everything.
Well, sometimes I have to go three, and I just kind of let things play out as they naturally would. There's times on the second appointment that I don't think we're going to get the app, and we do. Now, I was on a case last Wednesday night where both the husband and the wife were going to do this. I was planning. I was hoping to close last Wednesday night, but when I got there, one of the first things that the wife said to me was that she had a rough day. She has to be in bed in a half hour. So, but I'm going back next week to close. So sometimes, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
But I just, on the second appointment, I let things unfold for them as they may. I don't come across hard. I come across very knowledgeable, very experienced and confident, but very easygoing also.
You know, what Gosse and Galen has taught us is that, you know, we're not there to sell them. We're there to educate them and let them purchase, and that's the process you're kind of following.
Exactly. You know, I'm trying to give them the exact right product and avenue to accomplish what they've told me they want to accomplish. And if you do that, you will close a lot of sales. I probably close at this point about 4 out of 10 prospects. But again, I mean, you know, I've done this for a long time, so although I believe I'm pretty good at what I do, these leads, I mean, there's an aspect of these leads that really makes my job easier than any other leads I've had, because the quality of the other leads, quite frankly, is just shit. And that's 25 years of lead programs. So part of what my success is on these leads. They're great leads.
So let me review your process a little bit. As I understand it, you get the lead comes in, you make the phone call as soon as you get the lead. And I'm assuming, you know, when you get the lead, now how many leads are you purchasing on a regular basis? Is it vary or is it pretty consistent?
Well, yeah, you know, it varies a little bit from season to season. And come January, early February, it'll be a full 12 months. But I would say that I'm averaging 16 a month, sometimes 17, sometimes 18. Right in there.
Good. So the lead comes in, you call them, you talk to them, you break the ice, you get the appointment, you send them an email confirming the appointment prior to going. Then you go through the first appointment, you profile, you find out what their needs and objectives are, you kind of zero down a little bit, give them a couple brochures that might be interesting for them to read based on what you learned from them.
Right.
Then you go back, you do your homework, you find the perfect product, you go back for the second appointment, you review what you learned in the first appointment, and kind of zero in on here's what we're trying to accomplish, here's how we're going to accomplish it, and then this is the product that's going to get us there, and then you're done.
Yeah, the second appointment's a lot more technical than the first one.
Yeah, I imagine so. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Now, let's
yeah.
open it up to questions from the group. And if you hit star 6 and you want to ask a question, hit star 6 again. That'll unmute yourselves.
Hi, it's Tim over here in Seattle.
Hey, Tim.
So far, so good. I hooked up with everybody with this with Advisor World about 10 days ago, and I've gotten 5 leads. Set 3 appointments out of the 5.
Good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're working very well. I have a question on just a lead that came in today, but this got included. This line was included on another lead, which was say, please include info on fixed, variable, and indexed annuities. Okay, email info first, all in the afternoon. Okay, so there was another one that wanted email info first. How do you respond to that?
I don't. It's like it's not even there, Jim. I absolutely pay no attention to that whatsoever. I pick up the phone. I make the call, I do my thing. It's just like that line is not even on there.
Okay. Kind of. Is Galen on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Tim is Cause.
I am.
How is that generated when someone – do you ask that? Because it seems like it's exactly how it was written on the last one. That appeared on. Two out of the 5 had that line on there, and I'm wondering if that's something that people ask for, or is that something the qualifier is somehow...
I was unmuting myself when you asked me the question. What was the question exactly?
So the question is, on this lead, it had kind of the second sentence was, please include income on fixed, variable, and indexed annuities, which is the same line that was on the other one, and it said email info first and then call in the afternoon. So my question is about the email info first, and I'm wondering...
Yeah, it's kind of a natural thing. If somebody comes in and they're looking for comparison rates or something like that, which is a lot, people are typically... if they're looking at buy something, I mean, the most important question on their mind is going to be, well, how much am I going to get? So they'll go through that, and the nature of the call is when, okay, so you're looking for this, and they're taking, and you want it for, you know, 10 years or 20 years or lifetime, whatever that is. And, you know, this is, you're looking for a comparison on these things. A very natural thing for them to do is say, well, can they email it to me? And the person's response goes something like, you know, sure, typically they'll shoot you an email when we get the lead, but they'll follow up with you after that. So it's up to you how you want to do it. There's people out there that all they do is email, and they don't even call them. They wait for them to call them back. And there's other people that email them saying, hey, I'm going to call you. This is my contact information. Check out a little bit about me. And there's, you know, other people that will say, you know, here's a cross-section of, you know, some of the products that are available, and here's what they're offering. So they'll put together more of a detailed email report, so to speak. And then they'll just follow up with them. And typically people who do that will send something fairly complicated to them, so they're not really going to be able to figure it out. And then they'll call them up and walk them through that. So, you know, it is very common for people to say, oh, well, can they email me? I don't want to put them in a position of, no, we're not going to email you. We want you on the phone until we can sell you. So we just, you know, acquiesce. And, you know, so if it says email first, in some cases on very huge leads, we've known it to be a very big deal that you, you know, acknowledge what the person wanted via email. And then there's never an issue, you know, giving them a call after, as you state in your email that you will do. It can be a trust issue, you know, following instructions, can they do as I ask, sort of thing. But, you know, many, many people just ignore that and call them. I'm sure Joe's one of them and has no issue with it. But Joe is a total pro on the phone and a communicator. So he does that tremendously well. So, Joe, you could probably answer that, you know, as I did.
It's like you said, Klaus. I just ignore it, and I call them. And I tell you, the funny thing is, a lot of the leads that I get say that, you know. They're looking for this, and that on rates and email. And I've never one time had them come back to me when I got them on the phone and say, well, I wanted you to email this, you know. It's never even come up.
Okay.
So I just call them.
Yeah, I plan on doing that. My question was for Galen in that is this line looks so similar to the one that on another lead that I got. I was wondering if the qualifier is somehow leading them to ask that question.
It's a good question, and I'll say no, I don't think so. But I think what they are, you know, is, you know, and they're on the phone all day talking to people, if they hear that question, they just automatically throw it in like it's, you know, into the notes, like it's programmed in them. So that's why you see it like that written exactly the same way, because they're just, you know, going through the motions. If they hear that, then they'll just, you know, they're going to say this, and then they're just going to let the person know that, hey, this person did say that they want an email first. But Joe's never had an issue calling those at 7. I would never say that there hasn't been a case where it's been an issue when they didn't email first. And I think it's a testament to Joe's opening a conversation skills and potentially a negative against somebody else's ability to open up a conversation. Because it would never, I mean, if it were me, it would never affect me. But if you call them up and, you know, some guys are pretty harsh on the phone, and, you know, this is phone sales, so there's a skill in opening somebody up and making somebody feel comfortable, you know, and it's based on, you know, tone, confidence, everything else. There's not a, you know, what I would call a superstar closer, and I definitely put Joe in towards the top of that, those status of agents, but they've never had the issue, never. But people who have never closed a lead or much business in the past seem to have the issues. So, I mean, read between the lines. It's more about, you know, what your ability is like on the phone. I mentioned this last time, or last week, I think we did this. You know, it's everything about phone skills. How quickly can you make somebody feel comfortable? you know, the demeanor and the tone that you use and just being an everyday, you know, good person, I think helps in that track. So did I answer the question exactly?
Yeah. I was just mostly just curious because it looks so darn, it was the same qualifier and the same note, you know, so I was just wondering if she was eliciting the response.
No,
I think what happens is, they just get a response built into their brain, and someone says, can you email it to me, and they just type that in.
Okay.
But, Tim, here's what I would do. You know, certainly I agree with Joe Collum, but then if you get pinned against the wall, which shouldn't happen, but if you do, and the person says, well, I wanted it emailed, then you just say, okay, well, I'd be happy to email it to you. Let me ask you a few questions so I know what to send you.
Yeah.
You know, then you do your qualifying there and say, okay, well, let me go do some research. Let me find out what's right for you. And then what I would do is email that person back and said, hey, I found several options that we should probably talk about. Rather than email, I'd be happy to come out and explain this to you. It's way more productive.
Yeah,
and see if you can't get them that way.
Out of the, actually, I have the fifth lead I just got today, but I've gotten four leads. I sent out of those three out of four I set appointments with, and the one that I didn't was the one that had that note. And, you know, I just said, okay, here, go to a few insurance company websites, and you're not going to get much information, but what else can I send you? If you're interested in annuities, there's so many different ones around that I don't know what I would really send them.
Yeah, well, that actually opens up for a nice conversation as to try to qualify that person and to try to, you know, what Joe does in the first appointment. You know, what are you trying to accomplish? What's the purpose? Do you want income now? Do you want income later? How much money is there, which we probably know already. So at least I have an idea of what I should be looking for so I can send you something that will be productive for you.
Yeah, and it all comes, I was going to say something along those lines too, and it all comes down to your strategy and, you know, how you feel comfortable doing this. And in the bigger scheme of things, you know, focus on the meetings, but beyond that are the ones who are, you know, meeting with you, and don't sweat the other stuff. However, there are other, you know, strategies. It's never going to hurt you to send an email acknowledging exactly what they're looking for and then putting in hooks. Like in Washington, we, you know, don't have these companies available, unfortunately, but there is another one that I think it's a good fit for you. Would you mind letting me know about this, that, and the other? By the way, I'll probably follow up with you on the phone because I'm in and out and, you know, blah, blah, blah. However you want to do it. Like, you could always use the hook, and you could use that in emails. I know Joe doesn't. It does incredibly well without doing it. But a lot of guys do that and, you know, really try to open something up in an email. There's a lot of email salespeople, I would call them, that do very well with it. So you never know. You don't have to, you know, necessarily, okay, well, I'm going to send you every rate by every different company with every brochure, you know, via email. You know, some guys do three or four or five or whatever, and that's their strategy. But what you can do is you can acknowledge what they're looking for. You can make some examples of some various things. You could even, you know, give them a few really good numbers and then say, I need to follow up with you. You know, but I think it doesn't really matter how you do it, how you present the hook. But you probably would have gotten over that one if you had, you know, sent an email first. You might have been able to get a meeting after that. Again, you might not have. We just don't know. It's like, you know, maybe something in the other emails to the other guys would have, you know, turned them off. So you just never know. You just have to kind of pick a strategy and see how it works and judge it over time and then, you know, make tweaks to that strategy over time if you want to try to improve.
Yeah, I think my best guess would be just to make the phone call, and then if you get backed up to the email where they wanted email, because remember, these people are computer literate. They went online and Googled annuity somehow, and they got it on the site someplace. So if they back you in a corner and want an email, that's fine. You know, you talk to them, you break the ice, you see what they're trying to accomplish, you send, you know, an email to them with some various bits of information in it, nothing complete, because you don't want to send anything totally complete. And with a little note at the end of the email, I'll call you in the next few days so we can go over the email and set a time for me to come talk to you so we can kind of zero in on what you're really trying to accomplish. So you're kind of setting up the next appointment or the first appointment at the end of that email. So they know you're going to call. They know you're going to ask for the appointment. And then you just see where it goes.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, I've got an email template as well. I mean, I can send you over the template. It's got a good call to action. As Galen alluded to, we have agents that just send email templates to every single lead they receive, totally opposite of what Joe does, with a lot of success. I mean, one guy in Tennessee is one of the biggest guys over at USA Financial. So I can shoot this over to you, Tim, if you like.
Yeah, go ahead. Anything
okay.
Is appreciated.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, like Galen said, stick to one strategy, stick with it. Don't deviate from that, and then see how it's working for you. And a lot of guys on the program just readjust.
These folks has been very easy. You know, easier than I've ever done anything with.
There you go, exactly. And even if you just close 1 out of 10, I mean, that's going to give you a pretty good ROI.
Yes. Galen, Joe,
yes,
this is Troy.
Hey, Troy.
Hi, can I ask a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay. Galen, can you send that email template over to Susie so that the people who are aboard with the program can also take advantage of it?
Sure, I can do
great.
That.
Joe, just a couple of minor questions. First of all, can I get your website and who designed your website, if you don't mind?
I'm with annuity.com, so they have designed it for me. These guys are excellent. And my website is http://edgeworth.retirevillage.com.
I think you said HTTT, three T's.
No,
and a colon.
HTTP.
Oh, HTTP. Okay, good. I'm glad. I was going to say. I was like, what? And then a colon and then 2/ retirevillage.com.
Well, no. After the 2/ my name, Edgeworth. Edgeworth.
Oh, yeah, I have that. And
okay,
is it just Joe Edgeworth, or is it Joe?
No. It's just Edgeworth.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And that was retirevillage.com?
That's correct.
Okay. Great.
You're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, I'm in Lancaster, PA.
Oh, great. My simple question was, how many leads do you do out of your office? And if you do any out of your office compared to being on the road and going 60 to 90 minutes, as you were mentioning, are they still the same two to three
yes.
type close? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I don't have anything else. It sounds great. I'm looking forward to the program and starting with Galen. So
you'll like it.
Yeah.
No, I just did, for those of you that need to do some math, just did a little math. And if you close 1 out of 10 and you're doing the averages, you know, the average piece of business was 279 or something like that. Obviously, there's going to be smaller, there's going to be bigger. But you spent $2,000 and made about $16,000. Okay, I could do that all day long.
And you know,
are there
going to
be time periods? Oh, yeah, and there's all kinds of opportunities. This is not just one piece of business. Just like when we're doing our regular appointments, you know, we're solving a problem and we're zeroing in on one thing. But a lot of times what I find, and, Joe, I think you'll testament to this too, you know, you do one piece of business, but there's way more business to do. More money comes in down the road than you made in the beginning.
You're right. You're right. And I do a lot of estate planning through life insurance. So I have several cases this year alone after the annuity work was done that we did 750 to a million in life insurance policies.
Mm. Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and you've already done business with them. They've gotten to know you. They trust you. And that just opens the door to other areas.
Yeah, and then referrals from those people, I'm sure, also happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, Joe said something really important in the very beginning, and this is true with our seminar program, too. You just can't do one seminar and and expect a lot of things to happen, although sometimes it does. You know, you need to do seminar after seminar after seminar, and eventually the ball gets rolling, the pipeline gets full, and businesses starts flowing in. You know, the lead program is exactly the same. You know, the way I look at it is if we're doing a seminar, we spent $6,000 doing a seminar, and we set, you know, 25 appointments. We're going to keep maybe 20 of them, maybe 18 of them. We're going to run through the mill, and maybe we're going to find eight people we can help, and maybe we'll find of those eight, three or four will become clients. So we, you know, in this program, you know, we spend the same $6,000 if we spend that much money. That's a lot of money to spend on leads in a month. I've got to think you're going to develop a lot more clients than three or four, because these leads are people actually looking for help and they went out to search it. So, you know, he said you should try it for 6 months or a year. You know, this is one of those things you know works. You know the leads are good. You know, Tim just started with the program, got four leads, got three appointments out of those four leads, and has, you know, an email to send, and has another brand new lead that you know, it kind of has an idea on how to handle.
And when's the last time you heard about a guy getting internet leads and set three out of four? You've never heard that before.
No.
Because internet
leads, usually what I hear is, you know, someone, well, Troy, are you still on the line? Let's pick on Troy for a minute.
I'm on the line.
Okay. You recently, well, I guess it was a few months ago, bought a lead list.
Yes.
Okay. And I don't want to know what company or anything, but it was a list of a bunch of people, right? 100 people or 200 people?
Yeah, it was 180 people, and I didn't set appointment with any person. I went through it, and it was a waste, a clear waste.
And most of the people, when someone called from your office, they had no idea that even what your office was talking about, did they?
Exactly. In fact,
you know, why are you calling me?
It was a total waste, and so I threw the whole thing in the trash can. And, you know, if I'm going to produce my $8, $9, $10 million a year, like I've been used to, I can't spend time on things like that.
No.
So.
And so, you know, who knows where those leads came from? But these are, by the time we get them, they're about an hour old. You know, they're not 3 months of someone fill out a credit card application and said, yeah, have someone call me. You know, these are really fresh leads. And Galen and Kaz, I know you guys just have to spend just a fortune every month on lead gathering. You know, I don't know what the number is, but, I mean, I don't know how all this works. You know, the Internet, I understand kind of that I can email things. So you know where I'm coming from. But you guys must have all these search engines generating all this traffic, and then if you get someone in a territory, you can kind of turn that territory on. I mean, there's a lot of work involved, isn't there?
Well, you said, if I can attest to that, on the other call, they said that they only qualify 35% that are genuinely interested, 65% of them, they can't get a hold of them, there's no money with that person, or there's no phone number, so they're not qualified. So we're getting the Glenn Ross leads, so to speak, rather than getting the leads that are just going to be junk again and again.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I want to second what Joe says, is that internet leads suck. You're right. You know, that's 65% of them suck. It's terrible. It takes us 100 leads to get 35 out that are you know, of the quality that we need. So it is true, but it's the process that, you know, takes care of that for you. At the end of the day, people who, you know, go searching are obviously, you know, the best, you know, potential clients. Hence, you know, Google being what, the largest company in the world, all of a sudden, they figured that one out. And we're really following in those, you know, that methodology, you know, to do what we do. But we did realize that, you know, you need to call these people and you need to find out who's serious and who's not, and who's going to answer the phone and who's not is probably the biggest factor of the whole process. I think it's important for, you know, I just want to ask Joe a couple of questions as well, just to kind of, you know, set the expectations of his, you know, own experience of what new people might find. But Joe, when you first started, how many leads had you actually bought and paid for before you got the first commission?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the first lead I got was a guy who was just retiring, and he had his pension coming out. So I developed a relationship with him, but that took about 4 months, but it was $600,000. Now, in the very beginning, the leads were good, but I had to develop a program to make them good for me. So it took me a couple months to start closing the way I am now. Probably in the beginning, I was closing right in 1 out of 10. But they were large cases. And then as I got better, as I put my system together, I got to the point where I'm closing 3 to 4. But it probably took 3 to 4 months in the beginning to get up and running.
Yeah, which translates into 30 or 40 leads probably. So it's important to realize that some people do close the first lead, and as Joe did, but it wasn't get the lead, close the lead. It was get the lead, work the lead, then the lead close.
Right. But, and the other thing you got to understand with these leads, or really with any lead, is that you're going to develop a pipeline. You're not going to close the closable ones sometimes right away for various reasons. A lot of times people that respond to this are retiring. So they've got pension money, big pension money coming due. But as a lot of you guys probably know, they don't get this pension money until about a month after they've actually separated service. So I've got cases that I'm writing now and that I've written and closed in the last couple months that I got leads from Gale and Cos back in March, April, May. The lead I'm closing next week is $500,000. And I got that lead back in the April, May area. So there is a good amount of business that I write that I don't write, a couple weeks or a month after I get it. Some I do, but others are in what I call my pipeline for various reasons that I'll close maybe 4 months, maybe 6 months, maybe 8 months down the road.
Yeah, it's all just about filling up that pipeline, and then which is kind of phase one, is filling the pipeline with leads and closing some as you go. But, once you get things percolating, then things just get better.
But you got to make a time commitment. I think you've got to make a time commitment of at least 6 months. Set the money aside. And if you're not willing to invest that money, then go do something else for a living. Because it's well worth it. And if you're not willing to invest in yourself, you're going to miss the curve here.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And to speak about, the successes like, Joe and other people out there in Dale Tondrick last week and, all those people in there, they're not coming in and looking at, 10 leads and where's my sale? You got to take a big picture. You got to be able to work the pipeline, keep the pipeline full. If you stick with this, no matter how good you are, whether you're as good as Joe on the phone or have a different style and, you're like somebody else, it doesn't matter. As long as you stick with it, you build up the pipeline and you will be successful. I mean, just kidding, but in spite of yourself, like you cannot help it because the numbers work.
And I'll tell you another thing to do on the ones that you can't close right away. On my website, I put them into my contacts. So every lead I get goes into my contacts, and then they get a drip. We do a financial newsletter twice a month. So I've had people that wouldn't even give me an appointment in the beginning that 6 or 8 months later came back and said, well, I'd like to sit down and talk to you, because with the drip system, you're in front of them every month, and that's important for your pipeline.
Yeah, I can tell you just in talking to agents across the U.S. that for every agent that's been on the program for at least 6 months, their closing ratio has doubled. And so there's countless stories where, you know, the one guy in Colorado is closing a $1 million annuity a year after he got the lead. So just keep that in mind. I mean, although the ratio is 1 in 10, if you're dripping on these leads, it will easily become 2 in 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing you have to realize is there'll be some leads that you close right away. There'll be some leads you close a little bit longer, and there'll be leads that you close a year later. That's one of the reasons you got to stick with the program.
Yeah, and our seminar process is very much the same. And then what we find, too, is let's say you've been working the leads for a year and you've developed, you know, 30, 40 new clients, whatever the number is, 10 or 15 or whatever it is. Now it's time to go back and review with those clients, update their profiles, go back and do additional business, and then you're still getting new leads. I think that's when you really see your business start to explode.
That's absolutely correct, yeah.
You know, anyone else have any questions out there when we have the opportunity?
Yeah, this is Chuck. Joe, what times do you use to call people?
Chuck, anytime. Whenever I get to leave. Now, I will call them after 9 o'clock in the evening, and I won't call them before 8:30, you know, unless I know them previously, but I'll call them as soon as I get the lead.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, the one thing
makes a lot of sense because they're still fresh, they're very fresh.
Yeah, the one thing I want to mention, guys, is that on the lead itself, we have a comment section, and it's very important to read those notes because in those notes, you might get a little opportunity, an angle to approach the lead. I was just talking to an agent actually today, and in the comment section, what the qualifier put was the fact that the lead wasn't happy with their agent or their investment. I can't recall the situation, but ultimately the agent called back and really approached the lead from the angle of, well, I understand you have this annuity or this agent or investment, you know, what don't you like about it, and just start a conversation that way. But getting back to the best time to call, Chuck, we indicate in that section what the best time to call is, because we speak to the lead and we ask the lead, when is the best time for the agent to call you? So make sure to read the notes section.
Great. Very good question. Any other questions out there? When can I start? Anyone have that question?
You know, the agents out there that are not doing this, you know, unless they're making $1 million a year, and even if they are, they should absolutely jump on this program. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, I think so, too, and that's how we kind of, you know, through Dale Tondrick, we kind of stumbled on you guys, and you know, here we are.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Dale Tondrick, and
hey, Dale.
I've been on the program for a while, and I would agree with you, this is absolutely a phenomenal program. And one of the questions, and I've just been having Craig help me with this, too, but I'd like to know your process of just staying in touch with some of these people that say, can you call me back after, you know, Thanksgiving, or, you know, call me in January, and what do you use for your follow-up system like that, other than putting the people on a drip system?
Well, I don't get a lot of that, but if I have someone that says, you know, call me after January, I just put it in the file and call him after January. Now, I add him to my drip list. So, I mean, he just automatically gets the financial news update. But I have files for every month, and I have them on the computer. So, you know, when I open up January, the men will be there to call. There's notes on what we talked about. And I'll just follow up with the phone call. And because of the drip system, he'll know who I am. He'll remember me.
Hey, Joe, do you have a copy of your newsletter around?
I'll tell you what you can do. Go to my website, because at the website you'll see numerous videos and articles, and these are what goes out to everyone that goes out gets listed on my site. So people can visit my site and look at the videos, read the articles. I think there's stuff there going back, well, I'm going to say to earlier in the year. So there's quite a bit of stuff there that you can read and watch. And this is what they actually get.
And where do you pick up the material?
The people that run my site do that for me. If I had to do it myself, I probably wouldn't have a site. I'd be out on the golf course, tell you the truth.
So the people who are working for you put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to come out with something shortly, probably in the early portion of the new year, where we have a whole new site being launched that we worked on for, oh, by the time we get it done, it will be a year, unfortunately. But it takes longer when it's bigger. And we'll have, agents' profiles and their own ability to drive traffic to them and do trip marketing programs and everything else. So coming soon to Advisor World, we'll be able to help you with that. And,
I think as an agent, you got to have a website today for credibility, if nothing else.
Well, especially when these people came on, the lead came through the web.
Yeah.
Now, Galen, will that site you're putting together be able to be custom? I imagine it'll be able to be customized for each agent. And
yeah, absolutely. It's totally enhanced on what we have now, particularly on the profiles and the ability of the agents to be found, by the prospects, so that they can, check out what you're all about and everything else. More information coming on that too.
So, Galen, I just want to make clear. So this will be, instead of the agent having to have their own website, they'll be able to use this?
We'll still recommend that they, you do have your own website because it's a good asset to build. But for those who don't, they'll be able to have a profile of presence and, eventually a drip marketing program so they could have their own articles posted and everything else and then drive traffic to them and then see the statistics of people who are clicking on those to know when to call them.
And you'll have that by the beginning of the year for everybody?
First quarter,
okay. All right. Sounds good. That's excellent. Thank you.
Gentlemen, well, that means I have to jump off.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. We appreciate you being on and taking time to help us out.
Not a problem. You guys can get my contact information from Galen and Cause, and you're welcome to call me anytime.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate that, Joe.
Thank you.
I'm glad I could be of help.
Yeah, thank you.
But Joe, there's 1,100 people on the call.
Hey, there you go. I gotta get something out of this.
I'm just kidding.
Have a good night.
Thanks a lot,
Joe.
Good night.
Thank you, Joe.
Good night.
So anyone have any further questions? Or, Clyde, you want to kind of wrap this thing up? I think we had a really good call.
Well, it sounded like it. Incredible. I didn't get on until about a quarter till, but wow. Just what I heard right from there in terms of what he said about starting out 1 out of 10, and now he's at 3 or 4, and it took him a while to get there, a few months. But well, what a great supplement to radio or seminars or anything else. I mean, it's just a great program. So, like he said, I've been getting the feeling, and I think you are too, Craig, from talking to our guys, especially Dale, that this is a very unique opportunity, and. Cause and Galen have given Randall Marketing Group the opportunity to fill up the territories that they have available. So I think it's a great opportunity for every Randall Marketing Group agent, and I just think everybody should take advantage of it in their territory that can get in.
You know, which brings up a really good point, if they can get in. We want to make sure if you're interested, and you certainly should be, that we find out right away. So we can get you in, because sometimes territories fill up, and when it's filled up, it's maybe it'll open up in the future, maybe it won't, but we have an opportunity now to really take advantage of this and really we're, you know, I don't know if, I'm sure if someone calls up Advisor World and say, hey, I want to leads, you know, they'll see if they can get them in. But we're kind of, you know, for the next 3 months or so, you know, Advisors World's main marketing arm, if I'm correct, is that Galen? Am I kind of correct there for the next few months?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to, you know, we're not really into the pressure sale at all, so don't take it this way, but the facts are the facts. And I would say from January to June of last year, we were sold out 90% of the country. And the only reason a lot of areas opened up was because we were able to triple our volume in June. Just we had some things that we've been working on for a couple of years that finally kicked in and really helped us take off, and the lead generation really popped. And that's why a lot of areas opened up. But prior to that, you know, there was very few areas that were available. Like I think we had like Mississippi and Louisiana and, you know, a couple other on the East Coast, like Vermont and stuff like that. New York, where, you know, we always have difficulty because of the lack of annuity products. But beyond that, we were pretty much, you know, turning people away or waiting list. And then it popped, and that's when the opportunity really opened up again. So it is important to, you know, find out, you know, about your area, and you can talk to Randall about that. They have the list, or
right.
You know, even for, you know, really for us, it's all about you know, our brand, our reputation to the public, because that's what it's all about. You know, doing the right thing for the people, and you know that leads to exponential organic growth. So a great advisor in a tight area, you know, we're gonna. You know, try to make an exception, and you know, squeeze people in. So, you know, don't think, you know, just because it is a, you know, a need area that there's nothing that we can do. You know, it just might need a conversation and, you know, making sure that it's a good fit and everything else. But, you know, we definitely are, excited to be working with Randall, marketing. And, you know, so far, you know, the people that have come in have been great, and we're really excited about it.
Good.
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. And I think we're just starting. And, you know, we've got great people in our organization, as you know, and you can see. And we'll just, you know, as we go here in the next few weeks, we'll be adding quite a few more, and I'm sure. And now we've got this call on, and Joe is just fantastic from what I heard. And I think that'll answer a lot of guys' questions. You know, from somebody who's been doing this for a while, which was really, I think, what a lot of our guys needed to hear. So that was perfect.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, like I said, if you stick with it, you know, it doesn't really matter. You'll be successful.
It's
just the way it works. It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
And it's just important to look at the big picture and, you know, see things through.
All right. Well, thank you. We won't take any more of your time, Galen. We really, really appreciate it and appreciate everybody being on the call tonight. If you didn't hear this whole call, you'll be getting a copy of it tomorrow. And if you guys have any questions about anything, just give Susie or I a call, and we'll be happy to talk to you. And, Craig, I would say you're getting a pretty good feel for how to help guys work these leads.
I am.
Good. Good.
Hey, so, can I ask a question before you hang up?
Sure.
Sure.
How's the radio thing coming? How's compliance coming on that?
Yeah, we'll have that conversation another day.
Well, the last thing is DVD, but we'll. Can I just say, Craig? I think I can say we're very, very close to having the DVD done, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're close to having that done. As soon as we get that done, then we'll have the whole package we can submit. And really, what Clyde and I are doing now, and Clyde, we'll have a conversation tomorrow. Is kind of trying to find a really friendly broker dealer to radio, and we've got a couple good ones we're looking at.
Right.
And then we'll have something to submit.
Yeah.
So it's coming along.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're getting 4 or 5 leads, 6 leads, 7 leads a week, you'll be busier than a one-armed wallpaper hanger.
I'm happy. I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah. No.
It's coming along. You'll know when I know. About an hour after I know, you'll know.
Yeah, we'll let everybody. everybody know, but we're very, very excited about the radio program as well. It's coming along beautifully, and I think that and this together, I don't think anybody will ever complain about not having enough to do.
Galen, thank you so much for your time and efforts and all that you do for us, and everyone have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And for now, I guess we'll wrap it up, and then thanks everyone for being on the call. Look forward to seeing what this new year is going to bring us.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.